Greetings, brothers and sisters. This is one of a series of podcasts named The Only Real Solution. My name is Mbambulu. I will be your host during this series of podcasts on Black nationalism and Black power economics. I am a citizen of the Republic of New Africa. Therefore, I am a New African. I am not an African American, so don't call me that. When it comes to sovereignty, I am not a hyphenated anything, and you shouldn't be either. These podcasts will use materials from two of my books. One of the books has two titles. One is We Are Black People, Next Stop Nationhood, and the other is Not Dark White, The 411 on Black Nationalism. They are two titles to the same book. Either one will do. The second book I will use is Black Power Economists, a step-by-step guide to economic independence. These books are available at Amazon.com. Once there, type in Mbambulu Books. That's Mbambulubooks. And all of my books will appear. By the way, you can get me online at www.asetbooks.com. Here we are with part two of the step-by-step podcast. This is the last podcast of this series on Black Power Economics. Let's get right into it. Step four, conceptualize the economy of your territory and the Black nation. Black people in the United States could be very, very wealthy and only have a penny in their pockets and bank accounts. That is because material wealth revolves around raw ingredients and the ability to transform those ingredients into finished, useful products. Material wealth, at its core, has very little to do with money or profits. Material wealth is much more fundamental than that. Material wealth begins with raw goods, raw services, and raw space. The possession of raw or basic ingredients is one of the underpinnings of wealth. The other underpinning of wealth is production, the process by which raw goods, raw services, and raw space are converted into consumable, usable goods and services. The final products are manifestations of wealth, but wealth itself is too basic to be equated to final products. Wealth revolves around the ownership and possession of raw ingredients and the ability to transform them into finished products and services. The raw space that has been most often seen as a wealth indicator is land. However, human intelligence begs one to think land and beyond land. We must ask what other raw space can play an economic role similar to that land has historically played, and what other raw goods and services do Black nationalists possess that can be converted into an independent Black power economic system. There are encouraging answers to each of those questions, but at this precise moment, attempting to categorically identify them could result in misleading conclusions. It will be the task of groups of Black power economists to congregate and identify these new spaces and raw materials and imagine others. That is very important because it is one of the keys to the development and evolution of an independent and substantive Black power economic system. In grade school science courses, students are taught about kinetic and potential energy. Black individuals who promote a Black power economic system must explore our kinetic and potential wealth. Kinetic wealth is composed of those assets Black people possess that are actually being used to our own advantage. That wealth must be manipulated into serving New Africa more and others less. But our potential wealth, that is something we need to take a real close look at. Black people are in possession of a multitude of assets that could be used to our economic and political advantage, but are not done so presently. Not only is much of our potential wealth unrealized, most of what is realized is gifted to white power economics. A black power economic system would benefit immensely if black people began converting a higher percentage of our potential wealth into black kinetic wealth and use it to popularize and actuate concepts like black sovereignty and black self-government. Healthy and wealthy black communities can only exist within the context of a black epicenter. Creation, ownership, management, and utilization. If external elements play much of a role, you can count on the result being significantly diminished, if not altogether eliminated. Your territory must be a training ground for an independent black economy. At one end of the economy are needs and wants. At the other end of the economy are goods and services. In the middle of the two must be a medium of exchange. That medium of exchange will consist of primary and secondary elements. The founders of a town have to decide how exchanges will take place that facilitate this interaction. They can come up with their own solutions, imitate what other independents have done if it feels right, or integrate their economy into an existing independent black economy. At this point, no one would expect your territory or the black nation to be able to satisfy many of the needs and wants of its citizenry. Nonetheless, each black power economist and each independent citizen must think in terms of what he or she can do to develop and promote an independent black economy. Each independent citizen must assess his or her needs and wants and devise a strategy that would enable their territory and the black nation to benefit as much as possible from them. Right in line with that is an assessment of the needs of the black nation. Remember, what is being discussed here is much more than the here and now. Immediate gratification is not one of the building blocks of black power economies. The prize that matters, is economic, political, and social independence. The real prize is sovereignty and self-government. We can't allow the prospect of a mediocre or intermediate game cause us to lose sight of the real prize. Once black people have grabbed the real prize, the mediocre and immediate gratification elements will mean less to us. From an economic perspective, what I am in the process of doing to address this issue is the following. It is unlikely to be well received by black people immediately because the emphasis on civil rights for so long has left black people in the United States particularly vulnerable and somewhat damaged. But it or something similar has to be put into action that would help propel us forward and closer to our ultimate objective. I am in the process of establishing the National Bank of the Republic of New Africa. With the authority invested in me as a black power economist who acts in the best interest of the black nation and the wealth of independent black communities, I am going to produce and issue a national currency, the black dollar, for my territory and the Republic of New Africa. That is similar to what the Cimarrons or Maroons in some parts of South America did 200 years ago to promote their independent economy. And what every provisional government does once it sets out to seize control of its sovereignty. The black dollar is the currency individuals will use when they pay for official territory of black bottom documents, like IDs and birth certificates. It is also the currency new Africans will use when they do business with each other. And most importantly, it is the currency that will be used to pay new African employees for the work they do. Some will think it doesn't make sense to issue an independent currency, but it does, because it is a strong demonstration of our separation from white power. It is one of those baby steps that will grow with time and facilitate the development and promotion of an independent black economic system. Governments maintain various bank accounts, some of which are in other countries. It's quite normal for country A to have bank accounts in country B, C, and D. This is done in order to facilitate international trade and sidestep some artificially generated trade obstacles, since the international currency exchange system is weighted in favor of white power countries. So, under the present circumstances, it is understandable that I, as authorized representative of the government of the Republic of New Africa, would have a bank account in a bank located in the United States of America. This is particularly germane to me as a Black Power economist and founder of the Black National Bank. I will need to open a bank account that will be subject to white power's rules and regulations, pay sales taxes every time the government pays to print black dollars, and be prepared to defend myself against charges like mail fraud and running a scam business that white power's mainstream will accuse me of for no other reason than to harass me or incarcerate me for playing a role in a process that aims to create wealthy black communities and self-government for black people. White power framed Marcus Garvey and a lot of other black nationalists. Black power economists today should expect to be mistreated in like manner. In a nutshell, I would loan the black government enough money in U.S. dollars to purchase some needed equipment, make a design for black dollars, and print black dollars. These black dollars would be deposited in the National Bank of the Black Nation, the RNA, which I have the authority to establish. And each black dollar would have the value equal to that of one U.S. dollar. The citizens of the territory of Black Bottom will be required to use black dollars to pay for government services, like the purchase of an ID or birth certificate, or perhaps applying for citizenship. And they will be encouraged to use black dollars when they do business with other new Africans and citizens of independent black territories. When it engages in financial transactions that involve parties that are not New African, the black government will use the U.S. dollars it receives from loans and New Africans who purchase black dollars. This is normally what happens when international trade takes place. In international trade, the parties to the transaction decide which currency they are going to use to carry out financial transactions. Currently, the U.S. dollar is the most popular currency used internationally, so the black nation will march to that beat for the time being. How quickly and effectively the black dollars circulate throughout the black nation will be determined by how often new Africans use it and how quickly we export goods and services that revolve around the black dollar. Any independent territory that wants to use the black dollar will be free to do so. The details related thereto would have to be worked out collaboratively by groups of independent black territories and black power economists. New Africans will be encouraged to use black dollars in interactions between and among new Africans. New Africans, on a person-by-person basis, will have to determine how much they are willing to use the black dollar and, by extension, help walk the black power economic system through its baby years. Issuing a black currency will open a can of economic, political, and legal worms and be difficult to control, but it is essential to the development of an independent black economy. We must remember that it is a critical step in a design of grand proportions. As the need arises, black power economists will debug and streamline the process to where it is comparable in functionality to all other currencies presently used in the world. We cannot be afraid to trip or stumble along the way to sovereignty and self-government. White power is going to react irrationally and dishonorably, but that should not cause us to abandon the process. Everybody else experiences ups and downs on the way to where they are, so why should black people be unwilling to do likewise? Anybody knows that the issuance of an independent black currency is going to bring out the slime balls and counterfeiters and lead to charges against black power economists leveled by the governments of the United States and many of its member states. No currency has escaped the attention of counterfeiters, even in the most highly organized countries. What Black Power economists start off with will be baby steps. But what we as an independent people can learn as we take these baby steps will be of immense benefit to us as time progresses. Before moving on, I want you all to relax a little bit and try to remember as much of what has been said up to this point as you can. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes of music and then come back and finish this podcast. Okay, let's close this out. Another measure I would take as chief officer of the National Bank of the Territory of Black Bottom and the Republic of New Africa is to begin laying out an economic policy for the Territory of Black Bottom that is as consistent with the stated objectives of the RNA as it can be. When I initiate this process, the government of the RNA will become the domain of Black Power economists and place us in a position to represent independent New Africans in much the same way the ANC or the African National Congress represented the blacks in South Africa, or as the MPLA, the Popular Movement for the Liberation of Angola, represented the blacks in Angola, and the PLO, or Palestinian Liberation Organization, represented the Palestinians in Palestine. It would also serve a similar purpose as that of the colonial provisional governments that represented the rebels in the American colonies during the Revolutionary War period. Training people to take on positions of responsibility and emphasizing the importance of maintaining stability at this early stage will help decrease the impact of some of the hiccup we will experience later on in the process. Our Black Power economic system must be founded in African communalistic principles, and what people often call socialism is a good taking-off point. Contrary to the propaganda passed on by the powers that be in most corners of the world, socialism has never failed based on its own lack of merit. I say this because capitalists have never given socialism the opportunity to fail because of its own shortcomings. As soon as a socialist government is installed, capitalists begin to undermine it, sabotage it, and debilitate it from within and without. Capitalists have formed an international syndicate of military and economic mercenaries that quickly go into seek and destroy mode in order to not give socialism the opportunity to prove whether or not it is better for human development than capitalism. Capitalists are certain that socialism is good for the masses, but bad for elitists. And that is why they go through hell and high water to keep a visible example from emerging that makes the general population aware of socialism's overall advantage. Capitalists generate artificial crises in socialist countries and then use those artificially generated crises to prove socialism is a flawed ideology and doomed to fail. They also create propaganda that uses capitalist economic principles to evaluate a socialist initiative, suspecting that the average person will not recognize the misleading results such an evaluation will produce. There are limitless details, effects, and drifts that such an evaluation would fail to address that most persons would not even think of. Dollars and cents mean everything to capitalist economy, but take on a less prominent role within the socialist context. Stressing dollars and cents cheapens socialism's benefits, but the masses have been taught that the bottom line rests on dollars and cents. Dollars and cents cheapen and obscures socialism's benefits. So, a black power economist will not be sidetracked by capitalist arguments against other types of economies that are founded on misconceptions and mischaracterizations. In a socialist country, production is for use, not for profit. But that only begins to demonstrate how basic and fundamental the differences are between socialism and capitalism. Within a social context, philanthropy is not extraneous. It is fundamental. Within a socialist context, philanthropy is one of the primary reasons for being of a business. This does not mean that a business or business person should not seek to profit from his or her activities, but he or she must control the me-first impulse, because the white power context immerses people in a self-serving and egocentric environment. It is unlikely that most individuals will be capable of regulating themselves. So the laws that govern the territory of Black Bottom and the RNA must regulate them. All business persons must be constantly reminded that the primary reason for starting a business should be to provide a good or service that will improve the wealth and quality of life of the community. For the most part, people in the United States think only about themselves when it comes to opening a business, with how much money they can earn at the top of the list of reasons. It is so bad that many creative individuals in a capitalist system refuse to invest their time and energy in an activity if they think they are not going to be lavishly compensated. That way of thinking has been silently drilled into all persons who are raised under the roof of white power economics, but that is not a healthy economic perspective to adhere to. Philanthropy is a central ingredient of Black power economists and citizens of independent Black territories. Philanthropy within the white power context is a donation, a tax break, a hand-me-down to lesser beings. It is superfluous and lacks fundamental goodness. Fundamental goodness must be an essential component of a Black power economic system. Black power economists must be philanthropic in the use of their intelligence, skills, attitude, business, and support of Black sovereignty. Each person who opens a business has the right to reap the profits of that business, but he or she does not have the right to abuse the community in the process or use the community's resources without fundamentally compensating the community. Without the support of the community and use of the community's infrastructure, a business cannot survive. Therefore, the business person must use part of his or her profits to support the community and its infrastructure. That is the essence of a philanthropic business, and it is vital to the establishment of an economic system that will build wealthy and healthy Black communities. Step 5. Make contact with other Black power economists. Founders of independent territories must seek and interact with other founders of independent territories and individuals who are functioning as Black power economists. This will enable different Black Power economists to get to know each other, work on joint projects, interchange goods and services, help develop the Black economy, and combine their small territories into larger ones. Territories interacting equate to more new Africans interacting with one another, which in turn facilitates the growth of an independent Black economy. Black Power economists can use the territory building process as an educational tool. One of the purposes of starting a new territory is to give Black individuals the opportunity to practice and learn about the nation building and self-governing process, and make it clear that Blacks can do so without collaborating with white elements. Black Power economists interacting with other Black Power economists and building ties with other independent Black territories helps achieve this objective. As the populations of territories increase, Black Power economists can help build stronger towns, cities, and territories. It will be necessary to generate some images and documents that are recognized in all of the territories because they will function as vital elements of the nation, not just a single territory. The RNA flag that hangs in my yard is one example of this. Because the RNA provisional government was criminally attacked and practically immobilized, I am authorized to represent the national government and carry out as many of the functions of the provisional government as I can. Here are some of the things I am in the process of developing that have national implications. I have already mentioned the establishment of the Black National Bank and the issuance of the Black dollar. Also recently mentioned is the design and use of a Black national flag. I have also established a National Register of Black Power Economists and Independent Black Territories. That register can be accessed at my website, www.asetbooks.com, and used by Black Power economists to make contact with other Black Power economists. As I stated earlier, Black Power economists have to use extreme caution when using online tools because the opportunity for deceit and sabotage increases exponentially. To be added to the register, simply send me an email to asset@asetbooks.com. By visiting the website, you can see what information you should submit. This series of Black Power Economics podcasts will also be listed on the website, and all new Africans can visit the website and listen to them. We have to be flexible and demonstrate respect for each other, so nothing I have established or am going to establish is etched in stone. The same can be said for the Code of Umoja, the name of the RNA Constitution. We would have to make some adjustments as we move back and forth between Black nationalist steps, so we have to maintain a frame of mind that is receptive to ideals that have merit. However, we cannot change protocol unless there is a clear advantage to be gained. We must always take into account where we are at a particular space and time. The key to development of wealthy Black communities does not rest in the hands of any one person. It rests in the hands of the numerous persons who appreciate the value of cooperation, self-restraint, modesty, and sacrificing for more inclusive, long-term results. Egoism, selfishness, and personal ambition are not desirable and need to be checked at the entranceway. Creating healthy and wealthy Black communities will not be a cakewalk. Brace your mind, body, and spirit to withstand some major assaults in order to not wilt under the pressure. In closing, let me remind you that my website is www.asetbooks.com. Contrary to what Google or other search engines might say, my website is safe to visit. All purchases there will be processed by PayPal. You will be able to listen to all of the podcasts in this series there as well. And you can find my books by going to Amazon.com and doing a search for Mba Mbulu Books, MBAMBULUBOOKS. Peace be with you, brothers and sisters, if you are willing to do what is necessary to get it.
Mm-hmm.